This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But right now, it's Brady Week here at WEEI. It benefits the Greg Hill Foundation's Restaurant Strong Fund, and it's brought to you by Sam Adams. We are celebrating Tom Brady's 20 years here in New England, and we are joined right now by Heath Evans. Hey, Heath, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys?
Good. How's the isolation going for you?
Well, L.A. is a little bit different than the East Coast to start with. And so they have finally I always try to choose my words carefully because, listen, I'm no politician. Our news cycle is vicious and you don't know what to believe anymore. So I would say L.A. for the most part has shocked me because they've been out and about and trying to get their fresh air. I mean, they've now shut down our beaches because people were out and about too much. And so it is unprecedented times that we're just taking a day at a time, but we're all good here in the Evans household.
Yeah. There was a California official who had to apologize yesterday because the beaches were shut down, but he and his family were out sunbathing on them. So certainly.
I know.
So people, I mean, but that's the Los Angeles thing, isn't it? I mean, it's different than the East Coast. I mean, that people are concerned, really, very concerned with how they look. I mean, if you've ever seen the photo, my white T-shirt photo from spring training, we're not that concerned with how we look here on the East Coast. But people out there, are still going out all the time and getting their hikes in and all the rest of that stuff, huh?
Well, it's funny. Like, you know, people always try to divide the country by liberal or conservative, and you kind of like earmark, you know, different cities. You know, you would just strap like L.A. and New York to these very liberal mindsets, which they are. But when this hit, it's been very funny to watch people almost morph into maybe what they would have sworn they weren't before. So this is normally kind of a fearful, like where fear can like cross our city really, really quickly, and people become very controlled by a narrative that is proven not to be true. Well, I mean, in two different ways, our city just kind of kept going out and people were very kind and loving, and it wasn't fear-based at all. And it was kind of believing for the best and people were encouraging each other, which was great to see. But then you also saw a city where, you know, our gun policies out here are what they are in a very hyper liberal controlled county as well as state. And, you know, then you see lines for guns that are, you know, eight blocks long, and you saw these extremes that were very funny, you know. So normally gun shops struggle to make it out here, and now they're thriving, you know. So it's been both. It's always interesting. I'm not never really been a fear-based person, but it's been interesting to sit back and watch how our city has reacted to such news.
Well, this week, maybe as a distraction, we have been paying tribute to Tom Brady. And yesterday we had Welker on, and we were talking about with Wes what made Tom different. I wanted to start by asking you, when it comes to everybody that you played with, what made Tom Brady different?
Wow. Listen, we all have strengths as leaders. Tom didn't have a weakness as a leader. and I don't say that lightly. And listen, I would throw Bill right into that category. The one thing I loved, you know, about my time in New Orleans with Sean Payton is he fully addressed his weaknesses, and then he would basically hire out to overcome his weaknesses while he was trying to personally overcome his weaknesses. So Joe Vitt, our assistant head coach, would give a lot of our team speeches, and he would do a lot of some of the emotionally charged aspects to get our teams ready to play, just because Sean would know that, hey, Joe's going to be better at this. Well, I didn't think there was anyone ever better at Bill than anything from a coaching perspective. And with Brady as a coach, leader, quarterback, team voice, he could encourage your soul in 6 seconds. He could humiliate your soul if you were being lazy or underperforming in any way. He had this knack just to feel your weakness. I remember when I first got there in 05, how much he steadied my mind. I mean, everyone around the league, you hear horror stories about how tough this playbook is. So I get there, you know, week 7, right after being cut from the Dolphins, and this guy, I have this playbook thrown at me, and, you know, I'm thrust into a playing position because of injuries, and he just literally comforted my soul with what was a must and what was the stuff in this playbook that I could ignore. And he did it with ease. Like, it just oozed out of him what I needed. And I just think that's a gift, to take another grown man and to have an opposite alpha grown man really just come alongside another strong man and be able to lift up his spirits in his countenance in a way that very few men I've ever been around have had the ability to do so. And so that'd be the one thing that kind of just sticks out most, is Brady had this extreme ability to be able to encourage you and then light a fire under your rear end all at the same time.
Heath, I asked Welker this yesterday. I'm curious to see what your answer is. When in the 2007 season did you get a feeling that you guys were on to something special?
I honestly think week one, and I remember being in awe of how Belichick handled us after all the Spygate BS broke. And I, you know, 06, I still tell people that was probably Brady's best year. And if you look at statistically, everyone wants to always look at statistic crap, which is what I call it, because stats can be anything you want them to be. That's why I tried to never use them during my day with NFL Network. But you look at the production that he produced in 06, and then Bill and Mr. Kraft bring in all the weapons in 07. And we demolished the Jets week one. And then I watched Bill handle the nonsense noise of what was Spygate. And I'm like, holy moly, if we put this type of effort in practice and this becomes the destructive news to everyone else except for us, like, we're hell on wheels and no one's going to be able to deal with us. And then that just kept building throughout the season. And then you win games in Baltimore like we did late in the year. And then you're like, man, we're just marked for destiny. And obviously we were marked for destiny to fall one game short, which still breaks my heart. But it was fast for me. And I think I had gotten to so intimately know the parts of that organization that we already saw how Randy and Wes and Adelius and all the different pieces that we added were just morphing into the Belichick way, and I'm like, man, we're kind of unstoppable.
Heath Evans is our guest during Brady Week. Are you surprised that Tom is not retiring a Patriot? And I'll ask this for Curtis: if there is blame to be laid, where do you lay that blame, or do you think that it was business as usual and Bill and Tom both decided that this is the way they wanted it to be?
Listen, my relationship with Brady is such where I so respect his family time and so respect the man that he is. I mean, I reached out to him 2 days ago to shoot a video for Ava, who turned 16 yesterday, locked into quarantine. And I have such faith in the man Brady that he would say yes, but I would also never waste his time with something as stupid as a football conversation when I don't need to know. Here's what I know about those two men. They're both humble and powerful, and yet they're both humanly flawed. And so if I was going to bet on any two men to accomplish anything of greatness in any business or in any sports arena, I am literally going to struggle to fight who I'm going to take 1A and 1B between these two guys. Were there human emotions involved? Yes. Were there human decision-making involved? Absolutely. Is any one of them, either one of them, completely right or wrong? Nope. Do I believe these guys will go down in history as great friends? The relationship to see two powerful men do life together as well as they have for so long. We think about so many other dynasties in sports that have been broken up by pride and arrogance. To look at the way that they have thrived together, and then Bill's, the Belichick way, you know, listen, people sometimes are like, why do you call it the Belichick way? And I just think the more that I've looked back over my time and then just all my experiences from NFL leadership of my time at, you know, in the NFL, and then 8 years of TV work at NFL Network, Bill deserves the credit for the heartbeat that has created that dynasty. Now, Brady and all the great players deserve a large chunk of that as well, and so does Mr. Kraft, but it was Bill's way of doing things that ships Mike Vrabel off, that ships, you know, Seymour off, that literally breaks his heart. I firmly, knowing Bill the way I do and knowing the relationship with Willie McGinnis, to let Willie go to Cleveland for those 3 years, just because Bill believed it was what was best to keep his financial offer, what it was to Willie, the player who Mr. Kraft adored, Bill adored. Bill still speaks glowingly about everything he brought to that team, but yet my job is to do what's best for the Patriots based on what Mr. Kraft has hired me to do. And so I just think the alignment of what I know about everything Brady and BB, the natural course of the Belichick way played out in front of the world. I don't think it was anything crazy behind the scenes. I just think it was two men that wanted different things and couldn't align based on what they knew of what was best for them as individuals. And so now we see TB12, the Buccaneer, and Bill Belichick, the head coach of the New England Patriots. And so until either one of them tell me that there was some broken down history between the two and there was fights behind the scenes, I know enough to know that Brady and Bill aren't talking to anybody about anything that could damage the Patriots' reputation, the Belichick way, the way Tom Brady has gone about his business. And so I just think it was two guys that agreed to part ways based on what was best for them. And I'm excited to see how this plays out, because I think we're going to get to enjoy the greatness of both.
I was going to say, I mean, who ends up being more successful? Can you say that?
I mean, I think it will be both. I really think we're going to look back and marvel at the greatness of both. 2008 was brutal. I mean, we were so excited to get back out on the field. And then, you know, Pollard and the Chiefs come to town, and TB12 is not no longer our quarterback. He's not even no longer around in our locker room. He's healing and taking care of his body. And even if you had a problem with the Belichick way, you would have had a massive problem with the way Bill handled that catastrophe. And that's what it was. I mean, TB is he's irreplaceable. And yet, through a team effort and through great coaching and through humble players, we were able to string off 11 wins with Matt Castle, who I think every time Matt Castle had a great offensive coordinator mind and a well-disciplined team around him, he proved to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, which people laugh at that, but the tape speaks very clearly of what Matt could do. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Drew Brees. He's not Peyton Manning. But he is a very good quarterback when he has good players and sound coaching around him. And so I think we're going to see a very team-minded, complementary football balanced squad in New England this year that thrives. And I do think TB12 will take everything that TB12 is to Tampa and align with Bruce Arians and align with a bunch of hungry young players that want to prove to the world what they're capable of. And my belief is so strong in Tom that his humility and power will go down there and shift a culture in a day. As soon as he gets there, there will be, you can't, people say, why would you reach out to Tom, you know, to wish Ava a happy birthday and all the other greats? Because he's the most humble, powerful leader I've ever been around. And those are the type of men that I want speaking into my wife's or my daughter's life. And I think that power takes over other men. Now, you better be humble, because if you're not, I think Bruce Arians is going to get you up out of there. And I know TB12 is going to eat your heart alive if you think you've got all the answers, you're not willing to work. But I believe in the Belichick way. And I also believe in what Tommy's going to bring to Tampa.
Heath, what do you think led Belichick not to believe in Brady for 2 years and $50 million last offseason?
Well, I think that's knowing my conversations with Bill and my contract times of just being on the phone with Bill, I don't think it's that simple, you know? And I don't know. And so the one thing that I've always that I learned from Bill very quickly was to speak for yourself. And so the knowns, I don't believe it was just that simplified, and I can't really go any deeper than that. I don't know what those conversations were. I know Tommy always has specified goals, and so does Bill, and how they go about getting to that end result, I'm not sure. I just don't think with, you know, I go back to when I was literally, I mean, I felt like the biggest traitor in the world leaving New England and going to New Orleans, but it came down to what was best for the Evans family. And we weren't talking about $50 million. We're talking about, you know, fullback, you know, piddlywinks change. But it was such this respectful conversation of what I needed for Ava and Naomi and my ex-wife at the time and what I needed for my future. And then what was best for me, what was being promised in New Orleans, you know, what were my goals about playing, et cetera, et cetera. And Bill had his mark of where he was willing to go for what was best. And the truth is, Bill was right for New England, and I was right for New Orleans. I walk into a Super Bowl ring. I walk into a better contract. I walk into a team that was primed to win the Super Bowl. I knew what I was doing. I was well-versed. I was well-prayed out. I was well-thought out. I had reached out to all my different advisors, football and non-football advisors, to seek wisdom on what was best, just as I know Tom Brady has done, just as I know Bill Belichick has done. I think they're both right. And I know that's hard for people to wrap their mind around.
Hard for Curtis to wrap his mind around, but yes, both can be right.
Yeah.
Both can be right.
I think there's very few times in life where, you know, in decisions, both people can be kind of really walking in powerful, non-bitter truth. And I believe this is one of those times. I don't think this is, you know, two men that now are broken up because of bitterness and anger and they couldn't come out. I don't believe that about either one of them. That's not how they operate. It's not how they operate as fathers. It's not how they operate as men. That's not how they operated in their relationships with me ever. And so I just choose to believe the best because I know the best in both of them. And I think I probably have a decent idea of the worst of both of them too.
My last question for you, Heath, is about something that Wes Welker said yesterday on the show, which was that essentially when he left, it was he looked forward to being able to have fun. And so he sort of was, I think, expressing his opinion on Tom Brady wanting to leave to go have fun. Did you have fun playing for Bill Belichick? And is fun an important factor?
Man, I had a blast. People always ask me, you know, what were my, you know, my favorite years, and the Saints fans can always kind of get their feelings hurt a little bit. And then I remind them, without Bill Belichick and without Tom Brady and Mr. Kraft and all the way down the list, New Orleans Saints never would have wanted me. And so for me to disrespect everything that I learned and how I grew as a man and a player in New England, just to praise, you know, a Super Bowl win in New Orleans would be a lie. I had a blast. I always tell people it was the most stressful and peaceful place to play ever. For me, I just always want to know what's asked and what's demanded. If I know what's asked and demanded, what's required of me, I can always put in a plan to get that done for myself. My first 4 years in Seattle, and even some of the time under Nick Saban and brief stay there in 2005, you know, the instructions weren't clear. And a personality like mine, it drives me nuts because I just want to please my boss. And I want to be responsible to my teammates. And to the best of my ability, I want to work my tail off to be productive on Sunday in my given role that's going to help us win. And so I need clear directives. And I never once in 4 years went into a game without complete 100% assured directives about what Heath Evans was supposed to do in that given day. And so I loved my teammates. I never looked around our locker room about people not having fun. There was rules that we had to follow to create the Belichick way that has created the standard of 6 Super Bowl rings and all the championships and everything else. And so I think when you lead a family, I think when you lead a business, I think anytime you lead, there's things that have to be restricted for the health of the family, the health of the team. And I've never seen it done better. So if you want to sacrifice a little bit more freedom with the media to have so-called fun, and you'll exchange that for one game a year or two games a year, then so be it. And I'm not speaking for Wes. Wes is a brilliant football player, one of the smartest guys I've ever been around, and we're all allowed to have our own different perspectives on how things went down. I've seen a lot of guys chasing fun because they don't want discipline and structure and integrity inside a locker room, and end up going to teams that are, you know, seven-game winners. And so that definitely wasn't Wes's case. And again, I believe Wes changed the game of football, and with the perfect combination of what he brought to the table and Belichick's mind and Josh's mind and what Brady's ability, I mean, what Wes accomplished is an amazing thing. So I don't know exactly where he was speaking from, but winning is fun and it's hard to do. And so I'm always willing to sacrifice everything as a ball player to get those wins. I think about Vrabes and Teddy Bruschi, right, and all the crazy stuff that we used to do in the locker room. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was fun. And we actually loved each other. Like, there wasn't ever this underlying in our locker room, which I experienced a lot of that in a lot of locker rooms. So I'll shut up.
Honestly, I had all these other football questions that I wanted to ask, but you've answered them all in the context of these few replies. I just wanted to ask, as a follower on Instagram, shoulder, chest, or leg day?
Today's going to be some legs, and in quarantine it's different. We're doing a whole buttload of walking lunges is what we've got. So we're bored, to say the least, with our equipment available to us.
Well, I appreciate you joining us and sharing some thoughts on Tom Brady, and it's been a long farewell, but if anybody deserves it, he deserves it. So stay safe, Heath.
You guys as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Heath.
Thanks,
all right. Heath.
Heath
Evans, Curtis, hello. Any thoughts on that? I mean,
yeah, he kind of crapped out halfway through. We lost the recording here in the studio, so I didn't hear it.
Oh, right around the time that he said
convenient.
They're both brilliant minds and they'll be able to succeed.
And they'll be best friends for life?
Yeah.
Best friends for life.
I think Heath just wants to be invited back for the the free cocktails.
Oh,
before
yes. Right.
Weird.
Okay.
Greg, I think I remember hearing something from someone who spent a lot of time there that one will survive and thrive at somewhere else, and that another team will be calculated, ball-controlled, and successful here?
Yes.
Is that what I heard?
Yes.
I'm not sure if you heard Teddy Bruschi. He blames Belichick.
Okay. All right, Ken. Thank you. Brady Week continues. 4:30 today, Drew Bledsoe with OMF. And Dale and Keefe, 12:30? Ken?
12:30 with Dale and Keefe. They have Kevin Falk.
Okay, excellent. We'll be back with Ask an Attorney, an emergency COVID-19 edition with Larry the Lawyer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.